Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Found out that Kevin's kid doesn't like me.
He met you one time, and I had to describe. I said, I'm doing the program with Steve Jones. You remember you met him at a Penn State game?
Who? Unbelievable.
You made such an impact.
What did he remember about the day? The subway ride?
What did he remember about? No, he remembered that it was really cold and he could throw snowballs in October.
Oh, brother.
Actually, all kidding aside, I'll tell you what finally clued him in on who I was talking about. I said, remember the guy that walked by and we stopped and said hi and talked real quick? And he said, I'm running late to be on this particular whatever it was program. He's like, oh, yeah, the guy that looked like he was running late for everything. I said, yes, that was him. He goes, oh, I remember him now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. he goes, oh, yeah, I remember that now. Now, he's like I said, he's met you about two or three times, but that's the time you remembered because you were running late to get somewhere.
Exactly. Well, you know, that's... I remember him as well. He was the kid with the flask. I can go home and tell him I said that.
I was going to say.
I'll freak him out.
All I'll see is a whole bunch of lights and police cars in front of my house when I get home. Thanks. Sir, we're with children.
You don't already?
We're with children.
You don't already?
Yeah, no.
You don't already?
No.
Come on, the stories you told about that kid on the air? Come on.
Mr. Herr, we're with children and youth. We'd like a few moments with you, please.
Oh, I tell you right now, issues. Issues. Oh, well. So, All-Star Game is tonight. Kevin's really excited and jacked up about it.
Blah.
I mean, blah.
And you can quote me on that.
You took the first few minutes of the show before Curtis Strange came on and restored order. Where you were whiny, moaning, and complaining about the fans booing Robinson Cano.
Yes, I think it was stupid. I mean, as you said, it's the home run derby.
Exactly.
You're booing him in the home run derby. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in the All-Star game whatsoever. There's nothing that really is going to make me want to watch the All-Star game. And I'll tell you why. Because there's nobody.
Because the Phillies can't get home field advantage.
Well, they can, but it isn't going to help them. No, it's not going to make any difference. The game just never really had a whole lot of magic. The only time the game was interesting is when John Kruk came up and held the bat opposite, trying not to get hit by the big unit. That was fun. That was what would make me watch the All-Star game. But now it's just like another baseball game with a whole bunch of different players, most of which I don't really care to see.
They make too many changes in the game.
Well, and that's the other thing. And guys don't get a chance to play that long.
Right. Well, it's an exhibition game.
I know why. I understand why. You know, you have a different pitcher every inning, and I know every manager wants to get in every player, and that should be the case. You should be able to get in every player. But now, you know, it just... You can make it mean home field advantage for the World Series, but it still doesn't make me want to watch it.
Oh, I think it's an absurd concept. I told you, I'd rather have the league that wins interleague play win it.
Yeah, but you still have no control over it then. I like the way it was. I don't know. See, I say that. The older I get, the older I sound. I like the way it used to be. I liked it.
That they alternated every year as to who hosted?
No, I liked it.
That's what they did.
No, there was a time where the team with the best record of the teams that were left.
No, there was never a time when the team with the best record. Never.
I thought I would have bet my money on that.
Never.
Wow. I did not. All right. I stand corrected. I always thought that's the way it went. I did not realize that was never the case. All right. Well, that's the way it should be then.
They alternated every year National American as to who hosted the first two games of the World Series.
That's even dumber than having the winner of the All-Star game be the home field. I thought for years it was no, whoever had the best record.
Never. It's actually never been the case.
Is that just determining the championship games then and not the World Series? Like the divisional playoffs and that?
I'm trying to think how they...
I think that's the way it is in the LCS.
Records do determine that.
Yeah.
Because the wild card team cannot host the first two games of the series.
Right. So it works that way for the LDS and the LCS, but not necessarily the World Series. Wow. That's dumb.
Well, that's the way it worked for... I mean, the World Series always was alternate back and forth.
I learned something on this program yet again today.
This has been quite an experience for you.
Every day is an experience for me.
Oh.
But why isn't it? Why can't you do it that way? Shouldn't there be a benefit for having the best record in Major League Baseball?
Well, I agree with you. I think that's the best way to determine it. I mean, that's how I'd like to see it determined, is to have it that way. I think the best record should, especially with enough interleague play.
Yeah, I mean, your idea was okay. I don't discount it. I just, again, there's no control there. You could have the best record among National League teams over American League teams and still not have home field advantage throughout the playoffs because, I don't know, the Cubs couldn't beat anybody in the American League.
Tell the Cubs to get better.
Fans have been trying for that in Chicago for, what, 2 decades now?
I mean, do you realize that the Cubs have never won a World Series while playing at Wrigley Field?
No, I did know it, but I didn't think about it until you said that.
Yeah, you have to remember, Wrigley Field was not built for the Cubs. Okay?
Now, that I didn't know. Why was it built?
Wrigley Field was built for the Federal League team that played in Chicago. It was a rival league called the Federal League. And Wrigley Field was built for that team. The Cubs did not move into Wrigley Field until the Federal League folded. You're in shock, aren't you?
I'm just trying to look up the Federal League. Founded in 1913.
Yep.
And its inaugural season was 1914.
Yep. 1914 was the first year, was the year Wrigley Field was built.
The Chicago Whales.
Yes, the Chicago Whales.
Well, there's a great nickname. Where did that come from? Let's see. You had the Baltimore Terrapins.
I think they lasted 2 years.
It looks that way. The Brooklyn Tip Tops, the Buffalo Blues, Chicago Whales, the Indianapolis Hoosiers, and the Newark Peppers. Hoosiers were a one-year team. Peppers took over in 1915. The Kansas City Packers, the Pittsburgh Rebels, and the St. Louis Terriers. All 2 years, 14 and 15.
Exactly. But Wrigley Field, if you look up Wrigley Field, it'll tell you right now. I mean, I'm 98% sure. Wrigley Field, which I think was called Wegman Park or something like that, was built for the Chicago Whales Federal League team and not for the Cubs.
Of course, it helps you spell Wrigley. I spelled Wiggly.
Oh, brother.
It was built in 1914 as Wegman Park for the Chicago Federal League baseball team, the Chicago Whales. It was called Cubs Park between 20 and 26 before being renamed for the Cubs team owner and chewing gum magnate William Wrigley Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was also the home of the Bears, which I did know.
Yes, George Halas coached the Bears there. In fact, Gale Sayers had many a pretty good day in Wrigley Field. That's why I can't figure out why the layout for the Illinois Northwestern game was so bizarre, where they had to go in one direction.
And it's not like they didn't play football there before.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they played football there for a long time, and it's I didn't quite get why they had to do that. I thought, yeah, they played there so long, just use the same layout. It's like Fenway Park. Believe it or not, Fenway Park was used as a football field.
I did know that, too, yes.
Yeah, the Boston Patriots played there. Yeah, they played there for a long time. So, yeah, there's a lot of useless things I know. That's one of them.
Yeah, someday I want to put you on Sports Jeopardy. When Alex Trebek starts feeling better again, I want to do Sports Jeopardy with you.
Sports Jeopardy?
Yeah. Yeah, just it's Jeopardy based on sports questions. And I think, you know, if I market you correctly, we could make a lot of money.
Well, I just know useless stuff. Yeah. I come in here every day. I'm able to turn everything on. It's all good.
This is a great team. You know useless stuff. I know pointless stuff. It's a great program.
So here we are at the All-Star break. This is what we're yammering on about. A bad time for them. You know, and here's the next part. Nobody returns to play until Friday. Everybody has Wednesday and Thursday off.
What's the reasoning behind having an extra day?
What's the reasoning for anything? I have no idea if this is
one of the ridiculous
union. I don't know if it's a union negotiated thing. What?
I thought maybe there was a, you know, we wanted to make sure everybody had extra travel day. I don't know. I was hoping there'd be some legitimate
travel day. Why do you think they created Wednesday?
Why do you think they created red eye flights?
Yeah, but Wednesday, nobody's playing Wednesday.
Yeah. Didn't the All Star game used to be Wednesday because they would have? I was thinking there was a Wednesday one and they'd have Tuesday and Thursday off.
Nope, it was always Tuesday. Always Tuesday.
See, it shows you how many times I've watched the All Star game.
It's always been Tuesdays. You know, they just thought it was the best time to put it. So, I mean, that's the deal. And, so. They don't play again until Friday. I mean, who does this stuff? I mean, there was a period of time, for example, where only some of the teams were playing on... Only some of the teams were playing Memorial Day and Labor Day.
Yeah, that was really dumb.
No kids are going to school, though. Oh, no, the players should have some time off. Look. I know it's a long grind in the summer. I got it. But let's now take, for example, Shane Victorino. Okay. He's had an exhausting day in which he slept late. Gets to the ballpark at a certain time. You know, these guys work hard. I mean, so I'm not denouncing the work ethic. You know, meeting, take batting practice, whatever. You know, do some work in the field. Okay, fine. Make sure you're sharp. Then I get to the game. Victorino goes jogging out to center field. Okay. Gets there, puts his left hand on his left knee, puts his right hand with the glove in the right knee. Here's the first pitch from Cole Hamels. Strike. Victorino gets up, walks around a little bit, gets back, resets himself. Here's the second pitch. Ball, 1-1. Victorino walks around. Resets, pitches the ball, 2-1. Walks around, resets, pitch, 2-2. Foul back. Okay. Resets, ground to the third, no need to move, throw to first in time, 1-1. Okay. This continues on until when it's done with this exhausting exercise, he gets to run in and sit down. And you can't play Thursday this week? What? They wonder why they lose momentum.
This is why, right around now, we start going how many weeks before NFL training camp starts?
2 weeks.
Exactly.
2.5 weeks. I mean, the NFL has off weeks. I know that.
NFL.com has an interesting story. I don't know if you've got had a chance to look at it yet. The title is that... In so many words, the Cowboys' best hope of making the playoffs leans on Tony Romo's shoulders right now.
I thought it was in the Giants, Redskins, and Eagles tanking it.
And that may be, too. But that's a, listen, I am not someone to say Tony Romo has been an outstanding player. He's been a good, solid quarterback. He has issues.
Yes, he has. He has.
He has had issues. There's no question about it. And it's in bad times. But to say that the Dallas Cowboys hinge right now on Tony Romo having a good year or not having a good year as going to the playoffs doesn't say a whole lot about the rest of the team, does it?
Well, no, but look, what's the most important position on the field?
I don't know if it's the most important. It's the most popular.
No, it's the most important position on the field. All right?
I'll tell that to a defensive player.
There are two individuals on the field, my friend, that touch the ball on every single play.
I agree. But if you don't, you can score all the points you want. If you don't have a defense that's going to stop anybody, it isn't going to matter.
Well, what's a big reason why you're not stopping anybody on defense?
Well, I understand, all right, because the other team has a solid offense. I get it.
And a good quarterback. Like, quarterback means so much. Hey, it means so much to what you're watching on the field. The most important position on the field. Hey, the other 21 spots are very important, all right? I'm not saying they're not important, but it's the single most important spot on the field. That's the person that walks in the line of scrimmage. That's the person that looks and sees, okay, what's the positioning in the middle linebacker that might tip off what they're doing? What are the corners doing? What are the safeties doing? What kind of coverage are they in? Are they going to blitz? Do I check off to something else? And then you have to be the one to execute the play. It's the most important position on the field. No offense, Troy Polamalu is a great player. Ed Reed's a great player, but they aren't the most important guys in the field. They influence the game tremendously, but the other team's quarterback is the most important person on the field. A good quarterback can beat it.
Then sports analysts should not be sitting there complaining when the quarterback gets blamed for everything, because that goes with it. If you're the most important person on the field and you're the most important position, guess what? You got to take the good with the bad, too. When things don't go well, you're going to have the finger pointed at you.
Exactly. It's the most important position on the field.
And then, but then...
Because you touch the ball on every single play. You handle the ball every play that your team is on offense. Every play you have it. So, I mean, that's what it comes down to. You're the one that has the ball in your hand. You have to execute even the simplest thing as a handoff. You have to understand when they send the play in, it's being sent to you, and you have to relay it correctly to everybody else. You're the one that has to read it. You're the one that has to see the coverage. You're the one that has to check and say, hey, wait a minute, let's change. Who do you think changes the blocking up front?
Well, that I've seen a lot. Sure.
Yeah, who does that?
I mean, that started with Peyton Manning and
Troy Polamalu. He do that?
Well, he causes it sometimes.
He may cause it, but guess what? He's running to a spot. Okay, he's just fooling around in a spot.
But then why do I hear people complain? Oh, there's too much pressure on quarterbacks. We blame them for too much. Well, if what you're saying is true, then we're not blaming them for too much.
I don't want to blame them when we don't know if the receiver ran the right depth. I don't want to blame them when the receiver runs the wrong route. I don't want to blame them when a guy up front blows an assignment and it's wide open through a gap and the quarterback can't get the ball off. I'm not going to blame them when the running back doesn't pick up a blitz. Okay, those are all critical parts, but he is still the one that has the ball in his hands every snap. Okay, the running back or a wideout or whatever, you know, you talk about always, oh, you know, Calvin Johnson, great receiver. Well, Calvin Johnson is not going to be a great receiver if Matthew Stafford doesn't get him the ball. Can't. He's a dynamic player. He has changed a lot for the Detroit Lions. He has changed so much for them. Because he's so dynamic and so outstanding. He is the best receiver in the game today. And has a chance to be the best receiver since Jerry Rice. if he continues on. I mean, that you depend on all the parts around you. Tom Brady is a much better quarterback for having Wes Welker. He was a much better quarterback for having Randy Moss. But Wes Welker's career has been made by the fact that Tom Brady was the one delivering the ball, and Randy Moss had the greatest years of his career where he was a consistent winner and contributing to winning, even in his early days with the Vikings, because he had Tom Brady.
When you look at the Cowboys, Miles Austin probably has to be one of the guys that I think has to be the go-to guy in Dallas as far as to get this team where
no question.
To be.
Oh, no question.
I mean, seven touchdowns was not enough last year from him.
No, seven touchdowns not enough for him last year. Now, Romo has to get him in a position to make plays, plus Austin was hurt a little bit last year.
That's true. That's true.
Okay, he was hurt some last year. That's why when I sit back and I see Ray Lewis was put higher on the players list than Eli Manning. Are you kidding me? Ray Lewis is taken out now on third downs at times.
You're
because,
still stuck on that, aren't you?
Because it's wrong. It's wrong. Eli Manning, first of all, has won one more Super Bowl than Ray Lewis in his career. And guess what? He's made the biggest plays of his life on the biggest stage. It's why Amani Toomer, well, you know, Romo's a better quarterback. No, until he wins a Super Bowl, he is not a better quarterback than Eli Manning. Eli Manning has gone through tremendous amounts of personnel change around him at the wide receiver spot. Hey, Victor Cruz wasn't a part of the Super Bowl 42 deal. Okay, Steve Smith was. Right? He's changed tight ends. I mean, they have changed up personnel, and part of that for the Giants. The Giants had a lot of injuries this year, or this past year. Okay? Guess who was the constant between the two Super Bowls? Now, the offensive line, obviously, is one of the constants, no question. All right, let's take a break. Come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you could make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, the sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to the planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives with professional and certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, happy Tuesday to you. Steve Jones, Kevin Herr in tow. It's like going to the shore and having something in the back.
Sometimes weighing you down. Is that where you were going with it next? Thought I'd take your thunder.
Sort of. It's kind of like going up a mountain. Mountain time. Yeah, the All-Star Game is tonight. You're jacked. I know you're juiced for it.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
Get your Robinson Cano jersey. You're all set to go.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
Captain Jersey Monster.
That's all right. Just I'll watch the few moments when Carlos Ruiz is in the game, and then I'll just turn it off.
Let's see. Let's check out the headlines today. Orlando Magic exploring other Dwight Howard trades. Drew Brees will not report without a new deal. That makes sense to me. Spurs and Tim Duncan, 3-year deal. And interleague rivalry games to be reduced in 2013.
Go to that one. I want to hear more about that.
Okay. Well, the reason being is there's so many of them, they have to spread the wealth around. The number of games between Yankees, Mets, Cubs, White Sox, Dodgers, Angels will be reduced under the Major League Baseball new schedule format. Players Union head Michael Wiener said today that in most instances, the rivalry games will be cut from 6 to either 4 or 3. The new format will be caused by next year's move for the Astros of the American League, creating two 15-team circuits and the need for interleague play throughout every series of the season. It wasn't fair to have 6 games against an opponent that other teams in your divisions did not have, which is absolutely true. I agree with that. It says, why do we play the Yankees 6 times every single year when some of our division opponents aren't playing somebody of that caliber? No kidding. I thought that for years. I think the Mets have been an incredible disadvantage for years by having to play the Yankees 6 times.
I understand that. I mean, I understand why they want to do it, but I understand that point, too.
You know, I mean, it's 6 times. I mean, the White Sox get handed 5 wins a year. They play the Cubs. Life's good. Meanwhile, everybody else is going out. You know, Cleveland has to play Cincinnati. You know, the Indians aren't bad. The Reds are good. Meanwhile, the White Sox in the same division as Cleveland, oh, we get the Cubs.
Yeah, really? But you look out when the Cubs actually get it going. Oh, wait.
So.
I forgot who I was talking about.
There'll be an exception in years the rivals play the opponent from the opposition division. For example, the Cubs and White Sox will play 6 times when the National League Central plays the American League Central. Exactly.
Well, did you hear this morning that Proud to Be Your Bud was talking to the Baseball Writers Association of America? Said, we've been through a lot. We're going to expand instant replay when we have the technology to do that. Everyone I talk to, starting with Joe Torre, Tony La Russa, managers, nobody is anxious to expand replay anymore. That doesn't mean we won't continue to review it. Baseball's a game of pace. You can't compare it to anything else. We have to be careful how we proceed. Has he watched a baseball game recently?
I don't know.
Baseball game is a game of pace? A snail's pace. Okay. You put the word snail in front of pace, and I agree with that. Selig said Torre said of the next avenues of replay would be foul fair calls in the outfield and trap balls. Torre said Major League Baseball has explored a replay umpire in the park, as well as the NHL model with video watchers in a central location.
Right. They do it in Toronto for the NHL. Every video replay is in Toronto.
One of the suggestions they're looking at, an extra umpire.
Yeah, the extra umpire would be on video.
Right, right. And that would be the one that would most likely look at the fair or foul. And that one seems to be sensible to me. Fair or foul seems to be sensible.
Fair or foul, or tagged, not tagged, or...
No, but that he didn't go that far, though.
He should go that far.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I was hoping you picked up on that. He said fair or foul in the outfield and trapped balls.
Right. Well, look. I'll at least go in that. It's a start. It's better than nothing. It's better than nothing.
But to say that the technology, that they can't expand instant replay because they don't have the technology to do that, I don't buy that line.
I don't buy it either. I don't buy it either because every game's on television now.
Right. You mean to tell me that there is not a camera angle from the opposite dugout sitting down the first base line? I don't know, but I disagree. And let's say, all right.
If you can't tell, it must always be, we go back to the football words, indisputable video evidence.
Absolutely.
If it's not indisputable video evidence, then guess what? But you just say the play stands as called.
But Bud Selig is trying to tell us in so many words, in a lot less words, that Major League Baseball stadiums can't put a small camera on the top of the opposing of the opposite dugout going down the first and third base lines?
Yeah, but 9 times out of 10 we can see that.
And I know that, but I'm saying if you dedicate this camera. Listen, I can buy a camera for my computer.
Yes, but that would involve us seeing you.
But you're trying to tell me that you can't put a camera down the first and third base lines and the technology isn't there to do that, when you can put a camera above the wheel well of an Indy car going 200 miles an hour around turn three at Indianapolis, I don't think that's correct.
And plus, they talk about the pace of the game.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, look, when disputes happen, what happens to the game?
It stops.
Because they're out there arguing.
Right.
Just go out, give them a challenge, come out and just say, hey, look, I want to challenge the play. I think we'll find out that the ability to check the replay may add a minute to the day. You know, compared to the time they would have spent arguing and so forth. You know, because the time you take, I want to challenge it. Okay, let's just check it. You quickly call upstairs. They tell you, hey, look, the ball was fair. Hit the chalk. Boom. Put them on second base. As opposed to I'm yelling, screaming, I'm in your face, I'm putting on a little show, I'm kicking dirt, I'm upset, I threw a base. And you're out of red-faced Charlie Manuel got about, balls and strikes, right. You can't do balls and strikes.
Well, you should be arguing that anyway. That's an automatic ejection in the first place. But.
Sure it is.
But I will say that, you know, if Bud were coming out, I would say this. If Bud came out and said, you know, we think that if we do that, we eliminate the manager and the umpire having that little argument, and fans like that, you know, I would agree with him on that. Not agreeing with the whole process, but I would agree. I think fans do like it when the manager and the umpire start out there and argue a little bit. I think there would be something taken away from there. But that's not what he said. He said the technology doesn't exist. Or they have to expand instant replay when they have the technology to do that.
Look, it's a better game when you can look at it and just move on. Okay? You're going to get people arguing about calls anyway on balls and strikes, which you know darn well there'll be a lot of jabbering about that. But when it calls to simple calls such as fair or foul where you can use the replay, and I still say eventually to, you know, tags or did the ball beat the guy to the base.
But I think that has to be an option.
A force play.
Yeah, I don't think you need to review every single play. I think you should have X amount of replays. by the manager to do that.
I think the manager should have two challenges a game. Right. I mean, let's face it. The fans will, believe me, the fans are going to react, yeah, when they toss that little red flag coming out of the dugout. I mean, believe me.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I'm just saying, the fans will love it.
Well, here's more about what Proud to Be Your Bud had to say in his little media conference there. He said he was happy with the result of the All-Star game deciding home field advantage. Said, quote, I really like it, unquote. We're at a point where guys are leaving in the third inning. You're having a hard time getting people. I had two people, Hank Aaron and Ron Santo, who said you have to get the meaning back in the game. Is it perfect? There's no perfect solution. You take a game that's clearly the best of the All-Star games and give it some meaning. You watch these dugouts, and they're all there. They all care. The only guys who matter are who don't come. Don't quite understand that last part. And he said, when I'm gone in 2.5 years, they can do what they want. Listen, in 2.5 years, I may have a party on this program when that happens. Not a Bud Selig fan.
Let me say this about Bud Selig. On a positive note.
Okay. He might be a nice guy.
Well, I think he genuinely loves the game, and I think he genuinely cares deeply about the game. Every time he makes a decision, I think he really is trying to do something that he thinks is in the best of the game.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing anything out of malice, no.
I think he wanted to change the All-Star thing to the 7-7 tie, which was embarrassing for him because it was in his hometown. It was in Milwaukee. And I think that added to the embarrassment of it. So he wanted to do something that gave it more meaning. All right? And so he tried this. Well, I don't blame him for trying it, but, you know, giving the game some meaning, I don't blame him for trying that at all. Now, do I prefer a different method? Sure, I prefer a different method. Do I think it's a bad idea that he came up with to have the winner of the All-Star game have the team, have the league that hosts the first two games of the World Series plus games 6 and 7? No. That's not an awful idea.
It's not a good one, but it's not awful.
No, it's not an awful idea. Come on.
No, that's what I said. It's not a good idea, but it's not an awful idea.
I mean, is it a great idea?
No.
No. Is it a bad idea? No.
No.
It's not. This is not one of those you sit back, oh, what a stupid idea. It's not a stupid idea. No. It's an interesting idea, but in practical application, it still really isn't a great idea.
Practical,
realistic application.
I liked it the first year I saw it and heard about it. I thought it was a good idea. Then I started thinking about it and looking at it as we've discussed here. I am not for it now. Here's one thing I will say that you will be happy with. There have been some discussion of mirrored rules of interleague play with the DH being used in the National League parks as well as the American League parks during interleague play. Selig said he liked that idea, and they've talked about it for a while, and that's something they're going to look at this winter. This might be the first step. This would be a very good way to introduce the DH to the National League on a regular basis and National League fans and try and win those National League fans over that are the traditionalist or that like to see the pitcher hit or whatever, the way I used to be. This would be a great way to introduce them to what the DH would do for the National League.
Okay, National League fans. Phillies, for example, play at Fenway Park. You're using the DH.
Yes.
Right. What do you think when you watch those games?
I wonder who it is that they're going to bring off the bench to play to fill in for the DH. What pinch hitter they're going to use?
I'm saying though, but when you watch the game, and the nine spot comes up, and it's not Bozo the Clown hitting.
Listen, I was very happy to see Jim Thome come up in the DH slot in those interleague games with the Phillies, because I like Jim Thome, so it was kind of fun because I knew he wasn't going to play on the field very much, so it was kind of nice to be able to see him play. So I get that point very well. And I think this would be the first step in trying to convince other National League fans to do that.
Again, you watch the game, right? The pitcher comes to the plate. Now, there are certain guys that handle it really well. John Smoltz, Tom Glavine were good hitters. All right? James McDonald, the Pirates, a very good hitter. Very good hitter. Bob Gibson was a good hitter back in his day. Don Drysdale was a really good hitter back in his day. But, Kevin, I'm singling out guys now. Like Cole Hamels is a good hitter.
Right.
Roy Halladay is not. He's not. Okay? Kyle Kendrick is not. Vance Worley is not. Cliff Lee's okay.
But, you know, that goes back to the question that I posed to you a long time ago. Why aren't they? I mean, why is it that in baseball, in professional baseball, we have decided in the National League, for instance, that we want the pitcher to hit, but we want them to focus on pitching and not worry about batting practice?
Because when the pitcher hits, they are the only position on the field that has to worry about three elements.
Pitching, fielding, and hitting.
Yes.
Okay. I get that.
Everybody else hits and fields.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Or runs bases. You know, the pitcher would have to run bases too.
Well, let's face it, running bases, it doesn't take rocket science to do that, but it does take some common sense, yes.
But it also takes something out of you to run bases.
Right. I understand that. I do understand
that. I pay my money to watch Ryan Howard hit. I pay my money to watch Jimmy Rollins hit. I pay my money to watch Chase Utley and Carlos Ruiz hit. And I pay my money to watch Roy Halladay pitch. I don't pay a stinking dime to watch Roy Halladay hit.
But wouldn't you, as a manager, want your pitchers to take a little bit of BP, maybe two times a week at least, three times a week? I don't know. But to give yourself that advantage of having a pitcher that can actually contribute at the plate, seeing as that's the way the National League is being played right now.
National League pitchers do take batting practice.
then why do they all stink so bad?
Because it's not what they do. Okay? I mean, these guys, look, when you're a hitter, okay, you go out in the cage and you work and work and work and work and work. Okay? Your regiment is different than a pitcher's regiment. A pitcher comes to the park, they have on a 5-day rotation. On the day after they pitch, they do, you know, they run. Second day, they do long toss to just get the arm back and work. They're not going in the cage. Meanwhile, Shane Victorino, I mean, it may not show, but he's out there in the cage every day.
But if I'm a manager, I'm willing to sacrifice my pitcher not being an all-star fielder and pitching well and hitting well.
But they do take their time while these guys are hitting, doing long toss, work in the bullpen, running, things like all the parts that they need to pitch the game. It's the most important thing for them is to pitch the game.
Agreed.
It is not the most important thing for them to hit in the game. They are a bonus if they do anything in the game. Right? Anything. Because they have to spend so much time doing the other parts. You have to spend so much time in between days with your early work where you're concentrating on being a better pitcher. Oh, here, by the way, grab a bat. And you criticize Mariano Rivera for getting hurt, shagging fly balls.
But then, if Mariano Rivera is in the major leagues, in the National League,
he's going to hit. Run.
But he's not going to get a fly ball in center field.
Yeah, but he didn't hurt himself trying. He didn't hurt himself catching the fly ball. He hurt himself running.
What?
Mickey Mantle's running. Can't pitch to it. I mean, it's like elliptical. That has a TV screen in front of them. It makes them forget that they're trying to get some exercise in. Tries to take their mind off of it. That's how he got his running in.
That's the only way I can get my running in.
All right. We'll come back with more Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits Sunbury Motors. Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Not many times you've seen a guy after slicing a ball moonwalk, but he does it to that tape.
No, that's only if it lands closest to the line.
Yeah, you actually got one to land close to the line.
I did.
And then you were beaten out.
And I was beaten out by about 3 inches.
Right.
I think they cheated.
Look. Drew Kelly had a great idea. He said, let's just move the sign over, put your name back on there.
See, I was fine with that.
I knew you'd be.
I have no scruples. I'm not proud of it. It's just the way it is.
How can one possibly top a statement like that? Another Whatever Show, and thanks to Curtis Strange today.